Let us pray. Lord, as we study your word this morning, come and speak to each one of us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to know you in ever more deepening ways, and may our lives bring glory to you. Amen. Romans 15, verse 4 says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine." Our passage this morning is a powerful message about discipleship and having Jesus at the center of our lives. In this reading, we have a clear, distinct image of a vine and a gardener. I don't know how many of you enjoy gardening. I will admit that the extent of my gardening is mowing the lawn and perhaps occasionally taking a trimmer to some overgrown branches. My small garden, which I like spending time in outside in the summer when it's not raining, is what I refer to as a natural garden. I had to apologize for the weather this morning. I have to constantly apologize to my neighbors because they love gardening and their gardens are beautiful. Yes, I think mine's the fawn between two roses. But yes, gardening. This discourse between Jesus and the disciples happens just prior to their journey to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus would be betrayed and arrested. Jesus has shared with them the Last Supper, and he has and continues to prepare them for his departure. My first point is about being part of the vine. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." This is the last great I am statement of Jesus. In the Old Testament, the image of a vine was often used as a metaphor to represent the God's chosen people, Israel. Psalm 80, verses 8 to 16. "You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reached as far as the sea. Its shoots as far as the river." God's wonderful action in the people of Israel at that time. But it then continues. "Why have you broken down its walls so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and insects from the fields feed it. Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine. The root of your right hand has planted, the sun you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish." There are so many other references to the vine throughout the Old Testament, most of them as parts of prophetic messages from God, where God speaks through various prophets to emphasize just how far away the people had rebelled from God and how close they were to having their branches thrown into the fire. Since creation, God has desired for his creation to have a relationship with him, to trust and rely on him. But since the very first human beings, they and we have disobeyed and rejected God, but he has never given up on us. In verse 15, Jesus is the true vine. The word "true" means fact, the truth, the real thing. The vine imagery used in the Old Testament was simply a metaphor for the people of Israel and their relationship with God. But Jesus is indeed the true vine, and God is the gardener. The role of the gardener is to look after the vine, to cut off the dead branches, and to prune the branches so that they bear more fruit. The gardener loves the vine, caring for it, ensuring that it is fruitful and bears the best possible harvest. And this is such a strong image. The gardener removes the branches that are not bearing fruit. Being fruitful is a requirement, a necessity. It's not an option. The gardener's responsibility is to ensure the best possible harvest. My second point is about bearing fruit. The whole purpose of the vine and the branches is to bear fruit, to be fruitful. And the emphasis is on each of our responsibilities to bear fruit. We are saved through the grace of God. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. Jesus paid the price for our sins by his death on the cross. But that doesn't mean we can just sit and watch. We are instructed, told to bear fruit. And part of this fruit is the growth of God's kingdom. In Matthew verse 28, this will be familiar, the Great Commission. Jesus came to his disciples and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus' disciples were told to go into the world and make disciples, literally to grow the kingdom. And that continues to be our responsibility today. But the fruitfulness mentioned in this passage is a lot more about the fruitfulness of each believer, each one of us. It's very clear from the passage that each branch is an individual believer. Verses 3 and 4. "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." It's essential to remain in Christ. The branches can only bear fruit because of the nutrients the branches get from the vine itself. We have to rely on the vine, upon Jesus, for our spiritual nutrition. To use another of Jesus' I am statements, John 14 verse 6 says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Our lives need to be following the way and living by and in that truth. Verses 5 and 6. "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and I in you." The relationship with Jesus is two-way. God has given us the gift of free will. We have the choice. We can choose to accept God or we can choose to reject him. We can choose to accept Jesus as our Lord or Savior, or we can reject him. Jesus doesn't force us to become believers. Revelation 3 verse 20, Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." Our relationship with Jesus, our relationship with God, is all about the word relationship. A relationship is a two-way thing. We speak to God. God listens. God speaks to us, and we need to listen to him. If the branch is dead, it is not bearing any fruit. Then the gardener is going to lop off the branch and throw it into the bonfire. And we can see this within the body of the disciples. One of them, betrayed Jesus. Judas's branch was fruitless. It was detached from the vine and was thrown in the fire. The other disciples went through pruning experiences. We observe throughout the Gospels just how human the disciples were, how often they were blind to Jesus' teaching, how often they appeared to let him down. But God was able to prune them. They became more fruitful, and the church was established, a people living with Jesus Christ at their center. The contrast between the gardener's role of pruning can also be seen in the language of Matthew's Gospel. In chapter 3, his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering up wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Jesus says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is for my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Prayer is an essential part of remaining in the vine. Prayerfulness is that attitude by which we have a constant relationship with God, and that link between God and believers is developed. It's also a demonstration of our continuing trust in God. So what is the fruit that Jesus is speaking of? I mentioned it in the children's talk earlier. Our task, our commission, is to grow God's kingdom. But I would say this passage is more about our internal spiritual growth, and therefore the fruit that grows within us and is demonstrated through our thoughts, through our actions, through our attitudes, and indeed our whole being. The fruit of the Spirit needs to grow in each one of us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. They are the qualities from living a lifestyle governed by Jesus. Living as salt and light in our families, in our workplaces, and in our communities. Can people see from our lifestyle, from our behavior, from our words, from our witness, that we are Jesus' disciples? The disciples' image, the disciples' example is such an encouragement, because so often we let God down through our words, through our actions, through how we treat people. But if we remain in him, he remains in us. To remain in the vine, we must remain in Jesus. We must feel his commandments to love God and to love one another. My final point is about discipleship and community. The vine is a community of believers with Jesus at the center. 1 John 4 is very clear that love needs to be at the center of that community. We are to be a community of love. I just want to finish by reading a few verses from our 1 John 4 reading. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." And verse 15 and 16. "If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us." Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to remain in you, to speak to you, to listen to you, and to pray. Help us continually love God and to love one another. May we be people of the light, both as individuals and as a worshiping community. Help us to be salt and light, and to bring glory to you. Amen.